love it, my friend.
Oh, God.
Come on, we worshiping all night tonight. So I hope you're comfortable. Come on, let me hear you. Let me hear you. You make me happy. You make me whole. You take the pain away. I'm so in love with you. You make me happy. You make me whole. You take the pain away. You
make me happy.
Come on, say you make me whole. That's it. Say you take the pain away. Now tell them I'm so in love with you. Let's do it again. Say you make me happy.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Everything about God is right. Amen. To God be the glory. I totally agree with that. Everything about our God is right. He's an on-time God. Yes, he is. And I thank God for Jesus, the Son of the living God, dwelling in my life, dwelling in your life if you're a believer on tonight. We thank God for you during this midweek Bible study, virtual Bible study. We thank God for you joining us and tuning in tonight. We have a word from the Lord, and we're going to search the scriptures. Amen. We thank God. Hallelujah. The word says, study to show yourselves approved. Excuse me. Rightly dividing the word of truth. And that's our intent, to just become knowledgeable and informative about the Holy Scriptures, the Bible, the Logos, written word of God. We thank God for the Old and New Testament, that we can get into the word of God, because he said, if you meditate on this word day and night, you will be like that tree planted near streams of living waters. And he says, everything you put your hands to do will prosper. So for some of us, we're still waiting, but the word of God will come true. Amen. Continue to wait on the Lord and be of good courage. Again, I say wait. And sometimes during the waiting, we get impatient, but he says, everything your hands touch will prosper. Blessed is the man or woman that don't stand in the way of the sinner, don't sit in the seat of the scornful, or sit there with mockers of our faith. But our delight is in the law of the Lord. In the Old Testament, Joshua, he said, everywhere the soles of your feet will go, I'll give that to you. Amen. So our hands are prospering, and where our feet go, he's going to give that to us also. So guess what? We got to stay moving. We got to keep it moving, people of God. We got to keep our hands moving. Don't let your hands be idle. We got to keep our feet moving, going to church, going on job interviews, getting at that typewriter, getting at that keyboard, going and handing out flyers, handing out tracts, promoting your business. We got to keep it moving. He said, Joshua, where your feet go, I'm going to give it to you. And in Psalm, he said, what your hands do is going to prosper. Oh, that encourages me right now. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Yeah. Pastor is in agreement. And you know what the word says, two or more touching agree, we shall have what we ask. So me and my wife are in agreement for our church family and for you. And we thank God there's power in agreement. So we're going to believe God tonight. Amen, that he's going to bless our hands and works of our hands and where our feet go. To God be the glory. We're going to get into what we want to talk about tonight. If you can turn to the 34th Psalm, turn to the 34th Psalm very quickly. Psalm number 34. I'm not going to stay here long because there's some scriptures that I want to back this up with, but I am going to refer to this particular chapter all throughout tonight. Psalm 34, we're going to look at it throughout the entire Bible study lesson tonight. But I want to read some of the things that we read on Sunday as we preached the word, developing unbreakable faith. So we're going to continue to talk about that tonight, developing unbreakable faith. There are things that have come over the course of our lives that may have come in our early lives. It may be happening to you right now. It may be in recent years, or it may be ahead of you. And there are certain things that the devil sends our way to break us away from our faith, to break us, break our spirits, to break our inspiration and our motive and our determination. But the devil is a liar. Yeah, yeah. He can't break you. Yeah. He cannot break you. He cannot curse you. What God has blessed, no man can curse, and the devil can't break us. But that don't mean he won't try. Amen, somebody. That don't mean he won't send everything but the kitchen sink at us. That don't mean he won't form devices. The Bible said don't be ignorant of the devil's devices, but guess what? He got some weapons. Yeah. He got his number one weapon is lying. He lies to us constantly. He is a liar and a father of lies, and he continues to lie to you and I. That we're not going to get to where God said we're going to be, or we're not going to accumulate or obtain what God said we're going to have. But we're going to, amen, we're going to make the devil a liar tonight. Yes, we are, in the name of Jesus. But Psalm chapter 30, Psalm number 34, verse 1, this is David who wrote this. He says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him which were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around about them that fear him, and delivers them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man or woman that trusts in him. Verse 19, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord will deliver him or them out of them all. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this word tonight. Thank you for this Bible study. Thank you for those who have dialed in and tuned into their smartphones or iPads or laptops or desktops. We thank you, Father God, for modern day technology where we can, Father God, partake of your word. Now move on this time together, God, in the name of Jesus. So bless this time that we have together in Jesus' name. Amen. We see David writing this 34th Psalm, and it's so powerful, especially verse number 1. He says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. David had a determination. David had a willing heart. David was like flint and focused that no matter what happens in my life, I'm going to bless my God. I'm going to bless him with my life. I'm going to bless him with my service. I'm going to bless him with my ability, my skills, and my talent. I'm going to bless him with my provision and my livelihood, my money. I want to bless God with my lifestyle. Everything in me wants to bless God. And that's my prayer tonight for you and myself, that we can bless God throughout the course of our lives. Amen?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We ought to have a desire to bless God. And then giving him praise. In the middle of it, give him praise. In the middle of the storm, in the middle of the disappointment, in the middle of the lack, we got to find in ourselves that we still got to give God praise. When they walk away, give them praise. When you fail, give them praise. When we make mistakes, we have to praise God. David's children came against him. Trust me, we love our families. And I'm sure David, you saw what he did with Absalom and Abner. He told his soldiers, don't kill my sons. And both of his sons still lost their lives in battle because they came against their father, who was the Lord's anointed. But his own children rose up against him. His own wife came against him. His own siblings, his brothers, and his father overlooked him. David went through so much, even King Saul. He was faithful to David. David was faithful to Saul.
Yeah.
He went out to battle and beat the Philistines, beat the Amalekites on many occasions, made Saul look good. But they came back, not David. David came back from one victory, and the people began to sing, Saul killed 1,000, but David killed tens of thousands. And the people didn't, I don't think they meant to do it, but they did it. They put Saul against David. And at that point, Saul became envious of David. Saul became jealous of David. And Saul wanted to get rid of David. Help us, God. God anointed David. God blessed David. And God gave David many abilities. He says, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. He goes on to say, taste and see that the Lord is good. And it blesses me when he said, this poor man cries out to the Lord. The Lord heard him and delivered him from all of his fears. He goes and says, I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all of my troubles. This is why we always got to pray and cry out to God. We got to seek God. You who came to this Bible study,
yes,
you're seeking God. You sought the Lord. You are determined. We can turn on the TV. We can go to Facebook. We can do a lot of things right now in this moment, but we're seeking God together.
Yeah.
And like David, when we seek God, because Matthew 6:33 says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and everything else will be added unto us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. But I want to stay on point tonight talking about developing unbreakable faith. Developing unbreakable faith. There's some things that have disappointed us. There's some people who have let us down. There's some situations that made us feel inadequate or like failures. But I believe the word of God that it came to break you, but God gonna use it to make you. I said it came to break you, but God is going to use that thing to make you. I looked up a word today, obscurity. Obscurity. Very popular word. And I wanted to know the specific definitions of this word. It says, the state of being unknown. To be inconspicuous, to be unimportant or insignificant, obscurity. It also means something that is unclear or difficult to understand. Maybe that's you. People just don't get you. It's unclear who you really are. You're difficult to understand. But God says today, tonight, this year, he's going to bring you from that place of obscurity. Being unimportant, being insignificant, maybe not being seen by those who need to see you. Being unknown by those who need to know you. Being inconspicuous or anonymous. God says, no, I'm about to bring you to the forefront. I'm about to bring you ahead of the pack. I'm going to change your address. I feel the Holy Ghost. God's about to change somebody's financial status this year. Somebody going to move. I don't know if you have a desire to move into a house, a better apartment, a condo, a co-op, a new city. But God is going to change somebody's address this year. He is able. And David is one that he took from obscurity and made him king. Saul also had that opportunity, but forfeited it by disobeying God. Let's look at both of those situations very quickly. Go to 1 Samuel chapter number 16. I feel God tonight. 1 Samuel chapter number 16. If you have a pen and paper, write this statement down before I read from chapter 16. We're going to look at David. Write this down tonight, point number one or statement number one. When you have an unbreakable moment, you become unstoppable. Again, when you have an unbreakable moment, you become unstoppable. I believe that's why David can write that 34th Psalm. Because of what is about to transpire in his life in 1 Samuel chapter number 16. Let's look at why David would never quit, why David would never give up, why David became king and did not give up on God because he knew God would not give up on him. I don't know who I'm talking to tonight. I think I'm talking to myself. Because I've had some unbreakable moments and some unbreakable memories. And I'm going to stay right there, believing my God. Listen to what happens in 1 Samuel chapter 16. Look at verse number 10. Look at verse number 10. This is so powerful. Again, Jesse made 7 of his sons to pass before Samuel. And Samuel said unto Jesse, the Lord has not chosen these. And Samuel said unto Jesse, are here all your children? And he said, there remains yet the youngest, And behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he comes in this house. Those are my words. I added that.
Yeah.
And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and withal of a beautiful countenance and goodly to look to. David was a handsome young man. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. Then Samuel took the horn of oil, I feel the Holy Ghost, and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward.
Wow, wow.
That is so powerful. That was David's unbreakable moment. That was David's unbreakable memory. I believe that moment right there in David's young life kept him when he couldn't keep himself. He had a memory of, wait a minute, my family overlooked me. My father prepared my brothers to be king. They look like kings, Shammah and Ramah. They look like they could be leaders of Israel. I'm keeping the sheep. I'm overlooked. Nobody's even thinking about me. They didn't even call me into the house. And I know Samuel, the man of God, the prophet of God, is at my house picking the next king. So something's going on in there. So when they went out to get David, David probably said, who, me? Who they want me to come in there? David knew something was special about to happen. And then when he got in there, God spoke to Samuel, rise, he's the one, anoint him at once. Samuel got out the horn of oil and anointed David, and the Bible says the Spirit of the Lord entered David in that moment.
My God.
That was David's unbreakable moment, and that's when David became unstoppable. Who am I talking to tonight?
Hey, glory.
Some of us have come through some hard times. Some of us have survived some things that some people did not survive. Some of us have come over some mountains and some hills and some valleys. We have made it this far, and God is not through with you yet. God is not done with you yet.
Yeah, yeah.
God is not finished with you yet.
Amen.
You are unbreakable. You have unbreakable faith. That divorce tried to break you. When that job downsized and laid you off and you helped build that company, that tried to break you. When you lost all your money and had to declare bankruptcy, that thing tried to break you. Losing maybe a parent prematurely, that tried to break you. Maybe a child, that thing came to break you. God didn't send it. The devil did it. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. There are things that happened in my young life, and I look back sometimes, and I reminisce, and I reflect over my younger years. And people of God, I went through some, wow. I went through some, whoa. I went through some hard, hard times as a young man. But God kept me.
Amen. Amen.
God kept me. Y'all know me and Pastor Rebecca, some of her testimony. She went through a lot as a little girl, as a teenage young mother and a teenage young girl. Even in her adult years, went through a lot. But we're still here.
Amen.
The enemy keeps trying to break us. But God going to make us. Hallelujah. That was David's unbreakable moment.
Glory, glory.
Let's look at something else. When I talk about obscurity, how God allows us to have these moments, and it's up to us to maximize the moment. Mm-hmm. T.D. Jakes wrote a book years ago called Maximize the Moment. And Pastor and I sometimes look in our library and get that book out to be reminded that guess what? So did people say tomorrow's not promised to you? That's a true saying. But we do have this moment.
Yes, hallelujah.
We do have right now. Come on, people of God.
Yes.
I don't say tomorrow's not promised to you not to scare you, because he said he will satisfy us with long life. That's why I don't like those, you know, people who get religious with it. Tomorrow's not promised, and if the Lord be willing, no. He going to satisfy us with long life. I'm confident of that. But I use that point of reference to say we have this moment. We have this minute. There used to be a little poem of saying it's a minute, 60 seconds in it. I used to love that. And our motivational Toastmaster, a lot of the new speakers used to quote that poem. And I'm going to look that up one day and remind myself about every minute, 60 seconds in it to see how that thing go. But go to the Old Testament. But let's look at 1 Samuel. We're still in 1 Samuel. But go back. And this moment wouldn't have happened if Saul would have took advantage of his moment. Saul disobeyed God on many occasions. And God told Samuel, I know you like Saul. I think you love Saul. But stop crying over Saul. I'm raising up a new king. And we see in 1 Samuel 16 how David took the place of Saul in the spiritual before it happened in the natural. Amen? But go back one chapter, 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 15. And let's see what Saul did. We were in 1 Samuel chapter 16. Go back to one chapter, chapter 15. 1 Samuel 15, 15. Thank you, Jesus. And the Bible says, and Saul said, they have brought them from the Amalekites. For the people spared the best of the sheep, of the oxen, to sacrifice unto the Lord their God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. Then Samuel said unto Saul, stay, and I will tell thee what the Lord has said to me this night. And he said unto him, say on. And Samuel said, when thou wast little in thy own sight, was thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel? And the Lord anointed thee king of Israel? That is so awesome. That is so awesome. But I want to go back. Hold your place there. But go back to 1 Samuel. I said 15, 15. Now we're going to go back here a little further to chapter 14. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. To chapter 14. Thank you, Jesus. Actually, I can't find a place, but I'm just going to paraphrase it. I know it's in chapter 13 or 14 of 1 Samuel, but as God gives Samuel instruction to give king of Israel, give Israel a king, Samuel is going to be their first king. Samuel comes to Saul and tells King Saul, or future King Saul, God has chosen you to be king of Israel. It's found in chapter 13 or 14. And Saul's response was that, I'm from the house of Benjamin. Y'all remember Benjamin was the youngest of Jacob's sons.
Yes.
Younger than Joseph. He was the youngest. So Benjamin was the youngest. And Saul told Samuel, my tribe is the smallest, meaning the tribe of Benjamin, and of my family, we're the least in our tribe. In other words, Saul was saying, I'm insignificant. We're small. We don't matter. We're not measuring up to be king. Are you serious? And Samuel is telling Saul right here in chapter 15, God gave you the opportunity, although you didn't think much of yourself.
Yeah.
That's why low self-esteem is so defeating. That's why looking having low value of yourself and allowing our life experience or failures or mistakes or mishaps to define us. Let no one define you but God.
My God.
That's why I made up my mind years ago, no one's going to determine me or my success except me. There's no one that know how far you've come except you. So let no one measure just how successful you are. And the world will try to put that burden on you. How much money you got, how many members you have, how many accomplishments you got, how many college degrees you have, how much, whatever it may be, they try to put this stigma and this stereotype to your life. You feel like you don't measure up. The devil is a liar.
Yeah, yeah.
Some of us to be alive is a success.
Yeah.
Some of us to own a home, that's a great success. I grew up the youngest of a family of eight brothers and sisters. And we always lived in a 2 or 3 bedroom apartment. Always had to share a room.
Amen.
My mother never owned a home. Now we got so much room in this house we live in. Glory be to God, we can play a football game in here.
It's just me and you.
I'm in the basement, my wife can be upstairs. We got to yell. And we won't hear each other. So I thank God for opportunity. Boom! Breakthrough, open door, opportunity, manifestation. Saul and David had a breakthrough. They both had an opportunity. They both had an open door. They both became king and it became manifested. Come on, somebody. And God is saying to you tonight and me tonight, some of us just need a chance.
Yes,
all we need is an opportunity. Come on, y'all. Some of us just need an opportunity, an open door. And we'll do the rest. We'll study hard. We'll work hard to make it happen. Given the right opportunity in the right moment, God, we won't let you down. Is there anybody on this Bible study tonight that wants a well done after it's all said and done?
My,
amen.
Amen. Amen.
That's all God wants, a well done.
Amen.
He gives some, y'all know the parable, he gives some 1 talent, some 3 talent, some 5 talent. And there's another parable, he gives some 1, some 5, some 10. And sometimes we look at the one with the 10 and 5 talents, and we may be that one with the 1 talent. It doesn't mean you're insignificant. I just read about the word obscurity. It does not mean that you don't matter. Maybe you have the 3 talents. You're good at doing 3 things. But we want to look at a Joel or Joyce or Jakes or try to measure up to your Donald Trumps or your Warren Buffetts or your Bill Gates, Steve Jobs. And God has blessed some. He blessed Moses to be Moses. And he blessed Joshua to be his successor.
Amen.
Joshua was not on the Mount of Transfiguration. Joshua was not Moses. Joshua was Moses' protege. But guess what? Pastor Joshua got them to the promised land.
He sure did. Amen.
So in my mind, he was significant.
Yes, he was.
No, he wasn't Moses. Come on, y'all.
Yeah, yeah.
If we got the 1 talent, we got to stop feeling like we don't matter, like we're insignificant, and like God been unfair to us. If you're good at 1 thing,
do
that 1 thing well.
Yes.
Pastor, I can sing. Well, sing in your church and make the people of God want to throw their hat and wigs and weaves off. If you're good at singing. If you can preach, preach. If you're good at giving alms and giving money and a business administration, do that. The ministry of helps. So some people are good going into the hospitals and praying for the sick. If you do that well, there's something that God has gifted all of us with. Amen. What scripture is it, Pastor?
9:21.
For Samuel?
Yeah.
I want to see it. I want to see it. Thank you, Pastor. If you have your Bible, turn to 1 Samuel chapter 9, verse number 21. 1 Samuel chapter 9, verse number 21. Because I did want to see it. Oh, yes, it passed. I got my Bible highlighted. Thank you. There's one verse I want to read. 1 Samuel chapter 9, verse number 21. This is why we have our Bibles, people of God. We have the Word, because these were real people. They also felt inadequate. They felt inferior at times. They felt like they didn't measure up. Let's see 1 Samuel, what Saul's response was when Samuel was coming to him. Chapter 9, verse 21, 1 Samuel says, "And Saul answered and said, Am not I a Benjamite of the," listen to the wording, "of the smallest of the tribes of Israel? And my family," with the smallest tribe, now he goes to my family, "and my family, the least of all the families of the tribe of Benjamin.
My God.
Wherefore then you speakest unto me?" He said, "I'm in the smallest tribe, and then my family is the smallest family of all the families." So he put himself low, low, low.
Low self-esteem.
That's, Pastor said, that's low self-esteem. Y'all remember where Mephibosheth said, I'm like a dead dog.
Dead dog.
When King David came to him, he said, what have I to do with you? I'm like a dead dog. And I'm here to tell you tonight that in the eyes of God, you are powerful. In the mind of God, you and I are significant. In the mind and plan of God, you and I do matter. You have a destiny, people of God. He said, whom he called, whom he foreknew, Romans 8, I'm getting ahead of myself, we about to go there. Let's go there right now. I said you have a destiny, so let's go to the scripture. And this is not me saying you have a destiny. I'm going to back it up with scripture. Romans chapter number 8.
Good.
Romans chapter number 8.
Yum, yum.
Amen. Because I know we have a destiny. My wife and I have been called to pastor a local church here in the New Jersey area. We thank God for this opportunity. He has given this to us for 10 years. I started right here in our home, and we're still kicking. We like the that Everetta Bunny. Remember that Everetta Bunny on the TV with that drum? I played the drum for my high school, and I couldn't carry that big old bass drum, but we had a bass drum player, but I played what was called the tenor drum. And that Everetta Bunny, he keeps going and going and going, and he's beating that drum because his Duracell battery won't run out. And that's like you and I. We're unbreakable. We are unstoppable, and we're going to keep going.
Amen.
You do have a destiny. It's backed up right here in the scriptures, Romans 8:28. Listen to what the Bible says. And we know there's some things you've got to know. And we know that all things work together for the good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Verse 29, it's right here. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate. That's what that word predestinate means. God has already secured your destiny.
Amen.
He already determined the end at the beginning. Determined the beginning, the end at the beginning, yes. God already predestined us, predestinated. You have a destiny in God. That's why good, bad, negative, positive, right, wrong, all things will work together for your good, because he knew you and he gave you a destiny.
My God, Jesus.
That's why I can't, you know, failure can discourage me. Sometimes I still don't have what I'm believing God for. But he says, guess what? Even that's going to work for our good.
Even that.
All those experiences of coming short or being disappointed or people walking away or people not being accountable and reliable and responsible, all of that, the Bible says, that someday is going to work for our good. This is why God has a way of building our character. He has a way of building our resilience. He has a way of making us become unbreakable and unstoppable. God knows just how much we can bear. That's why he won't put on you more than what you can handle. If God allowed it, you can handle it. Pastor and I, you know, even since being in the pastorate, and I understand, you know, I'm a statistic person. I'm just naturally, I like to stay informed. That's just me. I make no apology for it. I listen to a lot of talk radio. I listen to a lot of politicians. I listen to a lot of people that talk about statistics in the financial market. I listen to analysts. I read about statistics. That's just what makes me tick. And sometimes people will say, well, church attendance is down, or people don't go to church as much as they used to decades ago. And I don't let that stuff get into my spirit, though. But I'm a realist as well. And this is why you got to balance out the word of God and the just shall live by faith, not facts. Ha! I said I can look at the facts and still let my faith outweigh the facts. Amen, somebody.
Amen.
We got to, just because you know the facts, it don't mean that you're less in faith. Just because you're informed and you're not ignorant or naive to what's happening in the world around you, it doesn't mean you have little or lack of faith.
Amen.
It just means that you like to stay informed. Amen, somebody. And God is saying to us tonight, I'm no respecter of persons. If I did it before, I'll do it again.
Amen.
So God is blessing us right now. God is blessing you right now. You're unstoppable and you are unbreakable. But we got to develop this kind of faith. We got to develop it. One way we develop this is with our words. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. Pastor said it last week, how God created the entire world, the entire galaxy, the universe. God said, let there be, and creation was made. She said, she read from Hebrews, I think it's the 4th chapter, said the worlds were framed by the word of God, Hebrews chapter 11. The worlds were framed by the word of God. And we too, with our words, can frame our world.
Amen.
I said, with your words, you can create your world. Amen. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. We got to speak those things that be not as though they are. So our words matter. I'm not going to go there tonight, but James talking, James chapter number 3 or 2, he talks about who can tame the tongue. We got to be able to tame our tongue and train our speech. Tame our tongue and train our words, because words matter.
Yes, they do.
If you say I'm sick, guess what? You're about to be sick. Ha! If you say I'm well, and God's going to make me whole, I'm healed, you're about to be healed. You're about to be made whole. You are about to become well. Our words matter. Well, Pastor, I've been in this pain for a long time. It doesn't matter. Still speak that you're whole. Still speak the word that you made, that you're healed. Still speak the word of God that everything is going to really be all right.
Glory, glory.
In due season, in my Kairos moment, at the appointed time, God set time from heaven, I ain't going to feel no more pain in this body.
That's right.
No more symptoms of cancer, no more.
Amen.
No more side effects, no more prescription drugs. Glory be to God. We got to speak. Even if we don't see it, we got to say it. We got to believe the word of God tonight. We're unbreakable. We are unstoppable. And God is saying to us, through his word, through this Bible study, we already have this unbreakable faith, but I'm going to continue to develop it in your life.
Amen.
Let's look at the three boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Go to the book of Daniel. Let's look at their words. They was about to be thrown into the fiery furnace. King Nebuchadnezzar, he built this huge image. And he said, at the sound of the trumpet, when y'all hear the instruments and the string instruments, you better bow down to this image. Because if you don't, you're going to be thrown into this fiery furnace. And nothing will be able to save you. Let's look at the words that they used and how God was pleased with their words and delivered them from the hands of King Nebuchadnezzar. Our words got to line up with our faith. The book of Daniel, chapter number 3, verse number 17, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These three Hebrew boys. Let's look at what God did through them because they had this unbreakable, unshakable, unmovable faith. Unbreakable faith is what we're talking about tonight, developing unbreakable faith. Daniel chapter 3, verse number 17. Hear what the word says. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of thine hand, O King.
Oh, yes.
Did you hear their words?
Yes.
Those were unbreakable words from unbreakable faith. Our God that we serve is able to deliver us from this burning fiery furnace. And they went on to say, and he will deliver us out of the hand of you, King. But look at verse 18. Look at verse number 18. We form our words and our world with our words. Verse 18 says this. But if not. Wow. That's humbling. But if not, be it known unto you, O King Nebuchadnezzar, that we will not serve your gods, nor worship the golden image which you have set up. That is so powerful. They said, God going to deliver us. He going to set us free from this furnace. But they went on to say, even if he don't, we're not going to bow. we're not going to bend, and you sure can't break us, because we're not going to bow to your golden image nor worship your gods, because our God is the one and true God. Those were my words. And let's see how God honored their unbreakable faith with their words. Look at verse number 24. We're still in Daniel chapter 3, verse 24. Then Nebuchadnezzar king was astonished, and he rose up in haste and spoke and said unto the counselors, did not we cast in three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said, oh, to you, king, yes, it's true. We put in three men. And he answered and said, lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth man is like the Son of God. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spoke and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you servants of the Most High God, come forth and come here. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth out of the midst of the fire. And the princes and governors and captains and the king's counselor, they had many witnesses who saw this being gathered together, saw these men upon whose body the fire had no power. I'm about to run around my house. Nor was their hair singed at all. The hair on their head did not burn at all. It wasn't even singed. Neither were their coats changed. They ain't had no smoke, no smudge, no nothing. The smell of smoke, nor the smell of fire passed on them. Can I say this to you, and we all can make the devil mad tonight? You ain't going to look like what you've been through.
Yeah.
Glory be to God.
Amen.
And some of us right now don't look like what we've been through. They went through the fiery furnace. It was turned up seven times hotter, that even the men who threw them in there burnt on fire and was taken down by the flames. But as they fell down in the midst of the fiery furnace, the Bible tells you and I tonight that the fourth man, Jesus, came up in there. Woo! Glory be to God. He said, these three cats believed that I could deliver them. And they said, even if I don't deliver them, they still going to serve me and me alone. So I'm about to come in there and rescue them, because they are faithful, and they got unbreakable faith. So the Bible says, even though they were thrown into this furnace, Jesus himself came to rescue them. And the king sent out a decree that the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Daniel is the God we all are going to serve.
Yeah.
I feel the Holy Ghost tonight.
Jesus.
God is saying, when we have this kind of faith, when we develop this kind of unbreakable faith, there's no good thing that he would withhold from them who love him. And maybe you're one tonight and you're saying, Pastor, I wish I would have heard this lesson a long time ago, because there's some things that came in my life, and I hate to admit, but it did break me. I'm no longer in church. I don't have the faith I used to have. Maybe you'll listen to these archives, and maybe you're on the line tonight, and you're saying, you know, I wish I'd have heard this years ago. But there's a song that they used to sing in the church that Pastor and I came out of. And the lady used to say, the potter want to put you back together again. The potter
Amen.
Wants to put you back together again. And I'm just going to read this, and we're going to close out Jeremiah chapter number 18, verse number 1. the word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause you to hear the word of the Lord, my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels, and the vessel that he made of clay, it was marred in his hands, the hands of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel, as it seemed right to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter?
My God.
It's never too late, people of God. It's never too late to get it right. Maybe that hurtful thing did break you, but God says, come back to me, and I'll put you back together again. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you tonight. Bless this word.
Yes, Lord.
Bless your people. And bind up anything that's not of you, offer your people.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus.
Yes.
Go in peace and serve the Lord, because you do have unbreakable faith. Hallelujah.
Amen. Praise God. Amen. Praise God. What a powerful Bible study on tonight. To God be the glory for the word that was just taught in our hearing. Amen. I thank God. I'm encouraged by that word, Pastor Anthony. And if you want more, NCCM TV is up on our website. You can go over and hear and see the video of the preach word where Pastor Anthony preached that word, unbreakable faith. Go over to NCCMonline.org and go over to the videos page, and there you will see the updated video from this past Sunday's word. So God bless you. Come and join us on Sunday, this upcoming Sunday. The Lord has been meeting us mightily at the church. Come and join us. Our 12:30 service has been, my God, it's been explosive. Boom. My God. God has been showing up. Souls are being saved. Lives are being changed. All to the glory of God. So come on over to 1482 Maple Avenue, Hillside, New Jersey. 1482 Maple Avenue, Hillside, New Jersey at 12:30 on this upcoming Sunday. And finally, I'm giving away at RebeccaEsimmons.com, I am giving away our free audio teaching on marriage, making marriage work, keeping it real. Pastor Anthony and I taught it a live seminar down in North Carolina. I'm giving that away for free. You can go over to my website, sign up for my mailing list, and I will send that link to you so that you can listen with your spouse and have your marriage go to the next level. So God bless you. Until Tuesday, we'll meet you for prayer. Keep praying for us as we pray for you. God bless you. Go in peace with your unbreakable faith and serve our God. Amen. Good night. God bless you.